The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yeah, let's do Kiefer and Curry right now. Yeah. You want to?
Yeah, because I got you. So I just do need to know later on and send it to David.
All right, we're already rolling. So for people that are just checking in here to the Kiefer and Curry podcast, we do a podcast every week. Normally we do Need to Know first. And then we do our show, and I really don't have anything prepared because I usually come up with preparation during your need to know, because you give me ideas based on your talking. And so I will say this, first of all, happy holidays to you. We're recording this show here. It is the 15th, so we're 10 days away from Christmas. Is that right?
Ugh, yeah. I'm not ready. It's only the. I thought today's only the 14th.
Today's, no, I guess it is the 15th. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know. It's like... I know, and you know, it's funny because normally you get a tree the day after Thanksgiving. You're kind of ahead of the curve. This year, stuff was going up right after Halloween. I'm okay with people wanting to celebrate as early as they possibly can because I think it's a beautiful time of the year. It's wonderful, but it does put us some extra stress. I haven't started my Christmas shopping yet, so I'm kind of freaking out a little bit on that stuff. I don't like to. I'm not an internet guy. I hate shopping on the internet. I know some people, that's all they like to do, but I like, particularly clothes, I like to go in, it fit, and I hate doing returns. My ex used to buy all this crap, and then we'd never return it. We'd never get screwed. She'd buy me like 16 pairs of pants, and none of them would fit. And next thing you know, we got 16 pairs of pants, and we forget to return them, blah, blah. And so I'm not into returns and all that garbage. I'd rather go to the store. I'm going to, my son wants some Under Armour stuff for Christmas. So I said, listen, Santa Claus is going to take care of you. He's giving me a gift card. And I said, I'd rather go to the store right there, Grand River, whatever it is, go to the outlet store, and we'll just load it up, and you're going to try everything on. That way, you know, everything fits and we're good to go. When we walk out, I'll wrap it up for you. We're good to go. And he's like, I love that. I love that idea. I'm going to take my daughter to the Galleria. I'm going to give her a little shopping spree for Christmas because she's 13. I don't know what the hell a 13-year-old wants for Christmas. She's jonesing about it. I'm going to get a shopping spree. I'm like, that's going to be your Christmas this year. So yeah, but the whole idea of, unless it's a gift card or something, totally don't like, and there's so many scams out there too. I'm still waiting on stuff from like last year for Christmas. I know there's some things that I take a picture of the confirmation and I haven't gotten some things already from last year. So I know, you know, there's a possibility it's not coming, but that's just me belly aching.
Yeah. I'm so. Same way. I don't like the whole online shopping thing.
Hey, can I ask you a question? What is the Rob Reiner thing make you feel like? How are you feeling about hearing the news? I'm assuming you've heard
about
Rob Reiner. I don't know what to make of how I feel about a guy who has been such a huge part of my life. I cannot believe I'm saying this. He just finished up the Spinal Tap 2 movie, right? I have not seen that yet. You and I spoke about that on this show.
Yeah.
He was on, for me, which was one of the greatest sitcoms of all time and All in the Family. And funny enough, he played such a quote unquote meathead, and was just
Michael Stivic
was such a loser on that show. And he turned out to be just such a brilliant man. And now,
well, his dad, Carl Reiner, was one of the real Hall of Fame founders. He was just comedy TV. Yeah,
he was just on MRN. They were replaying an interview with him, and he was on there. They were talking to Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks was on there, who is 99, and he was talking about Dick Van Dyke, who turned 100 this weekend. And they were going to interview Dick Van Dyke, but he was a little under the weather. So I think they brought Mel Brooks in, and they were, of course, really good friends with Norman Lear. Who, of course, created
so many other comedies.
Oh my gosh, there were so many spinoffs. You could say there are still spinoffs. You could say Everybody Loves Raymond is a spinoff of All in the Family. You really can.
Oh, for sure. Because the same genre.
When I heard that news, it just absolutely annihilated me. And then to hear. That his son Nick, who evidently has some issues, I don't know what the
serious
issues are,
drug addiction,
I don't want to speak out of place.
Personality problems, a lot of different things.
He was like 31. I don't know if he lived there.
32.
I don't know what the situation was, but Your thoughts on that? I just thought that, and I know you and I like to talk about things that we're certainly comfortable with, and that was certainly our genre time.
Well, I mean, my overwhelming thought right away is that, you know, if you live to be close to 80 years old, you know, any person at that age that doesn't die naturally is just very disturbing to me. To live your life for all that, for 78 years like he did, and have go out that way, you know, that just doubles down on how what an abomination this is. That if you weather all the storms and you're living into a ripe old age, to have your life ended, you know, by violence is just hard for me to fathom. So, you know, I have to be, with full disclosure, and this has nothing to do with my sorrow and empathy at hearing the news, because he was a very significant figure culturally and in the entertainment business for a long time. But I have been appalled the last 7 or 8 years at just what a complete horse's ass he's been. You know, he's anti-Trump, and that's all yep. fine. But he's gotten so vile. If you read any, there was a compilation this morning of a lot of his social media posts, and it's all F-bombs and you assholes and all this stuff
yep. Yep.
of anybody who disagreed with him. And so he was just a bitter old man, and that's a shame, because, I mean, a guy that had that much success and he's living in a mansion, I'm sorry his child was a problem and turned out to be the ultimate problem, because to think, you know, one of your children, you know, can turn to violence.
I can't even fathom that. I can't
grasp it.
Yeah, because you really can't, because, you know, it's one thing about being a killer, and I can't grasp that anyway. I think you have to be sick or disposed of or something.
To take another
person's life.
The guy who's responsible for you being here.
Yeah, but when you're talking about...
And I think that was his natural mother, too. I think he was one of their... He had some children in his first marriage. I think this was one that... This was he and his wife. So he killed both of his parents?
There's a special love there. You and I know this. There's a special love between a parent and a child. Your son, you could have left your son when he's 2 or 3 or 8 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
And you could have left him in the middle of the night, not said a word. And for the rest of his life, there will be a yearning and a need for him to know more information about you and want to love you. He wants to love you. He wants to get to know you. He will do anything. And you see this with kids. My father abandoned me, and it doesn't take, now I can't speak for this because I haven't been there, but it doesn't take more than 3 or 4 minutes before next thing you know, they're hugging you from across the room, and they're willing to forgive everything you've ever done to them over the course of 23 years. So to actually take the lives of those people,
that's just, you know, I can't even come to grips with that, Tony.
I can't either. To get back, and I wasn't going to bring that up, but I understand where you're coming from. And certainly that will probably come out. There's a time and a place for that. It's funny, because
that doesn't diminish any of the sorrow I feel, the sympathy, because, you know, whether you liked his politics or not, that doesn't matter at this stage. You know, he's dead at the hands of his own son. I mean, that's anybody who's not feeling terrible about that is just not a very good person.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, what's really funny, too, is for as bitter of a man as he seemed, the movies he chose to do were so fun. I mean, he did Spinal Tap. He did Stand By Me, When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride, which was a fantastic movie. A few Good Men.
Men's one of my favorite movies ever.
The Wolf of Wall Street, which is one of the greatest movies. I saw it for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it made me feel so nasty and dirty watching that movie. It was so good. The bucket
list. I love the scene where he thinks he's made it to the payphone at the country club to make the call to his lawyer. He doesn't know he's run over 15 signs, crashed into 10 different cars, run over a delivery man on a bike. I mean, he thinks he's made it without any problem. The movie was brilliantly done.
No, it was fantastic.
I love when he threw the FBI off his yacht, too. That was great stuff.
Sleepless in Seattle, Being Charlie, which was a fantastic documentary. If you were the first Wives Club, I forgot about that.
And that movie, ironically, was based, his son, who's apparently responsible for this murder, his son was the actual producer. He just assisted on that movie because it was basically the life story of his son, Nick, who is accused of murder now.
Throw Mama from the Train. He actually did that movie. That's kind of a cult classic. I remember how bad that movie was, but it was kind of good. I'm just going back there. The Mystic, Wind River.
A gifted cinematographer, maybe as good as we've had in our lifetime.
Yeah, and you know, the only other person I can kind of combine him with is Ron Howard, in the fact that he
very similar.
And Ron Howard started off so young and has just turned into be such just an incredible human being he's done. You think to yourself, you know, we've seen the Michael Jacksons and we've seen the Andre Agassis. They get into their craft really early in life, and they talk about how they missed their childhood and their friends and their school and all this other stuff, and they just turned out to be just, you know, it just, their lives are different. We can't even understand why they live with giraffes and chimpanzees named Bubbles or whatever. But to see someone who has been in this business for that long, and to see it all the way through from not only the actor standpoint, from the viewer part of it, and from the executive producer aspect of it, all the way through every facet behind the camera and on the camera, it's an amazing stuff. And what a waste, man! What an absolute waste! Because it's the Princess Bride was another movie that it was just what a fantastic.
And all the way back to what we started with, this All in the Family completely changed television and entertainment as we know it.
Yep.
I can remember I couldn't appreciate. I was in the fifth or sixth grade when it debuted, but it was so different. It was not laugh tracks and all the standard the I Love Lucy's and all the there were some great shows in the 60s, Green Acres and F Troop. Mm-hmm. This took a completely different direction. This was like real life television, but it was a dramatic, it was a comedy series, but of course it was the absolute best kind of comedy, because you had the old stodgy Archie Bunker and his daughter Gloria rebels and marries Michael Stivic, the ultimate liberal, and that's just things that weren't dealt with in those days, and it completely changed the course of television and entertainment forever. I think it was the groundbreaking show of our lifetime.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt, and there'll never be another show like it, because there can't be. We have let that.
We'd be too offended now.
Well, yeah, we've let that toothpaste out of the tube. We didn't know what to deal. I mean, you know, you talk about Good Times. You talk about Maude. Dealing with divorce. We can go back, but you're right. He was dealing with real life things, and we just absolutely loved it. And some of the jokes I was watching with the clip with Archie Bunker and Sammy Davis Jr. That wonderful clip where he says smile for the camera and he kisses him on the cheek. I mean, to be on the forefront of that, I think one of my favorite episodes probably of All in the Family, when I think it won an Emmy, was the one where him and Archie get locked in the basement together. And they get drunk together and they end up forging this new relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about it, which was just a fantastic. It was just one of which, it was something which, again, you just don't
the
watch.
Symbolism of that is so good because it's basically, if you're on completely polar opposites of somebody else, if you're in the same situation, it's amazing how that can bring people together in a situation where, you know, there's some adversity. And at the end of the day, no matter what your beliefs are, what your politics, if you just spend one-on-one time with another person, you almost automatically connect with that person on some level at some point, but we're not willing to do that anymore.
You're right. And that's sad. We've given out so much information about ourselves. I can go back and look through your social chain, your thread, and kind of get an idea of who Kip Kiefer is. You can do that.
You can read what does George Clooney have that I ain't got.
Exactly.
I didn't hold anything back.
By the way, I actually talked about George. I was in a speaking engagement in front of a couple thousand people this past Thursday at was it called Clear Branch Methodist Methodist Church. I want to thank the fine folks out there for having Tony out there. And I spoke for about a half an hour. And the two questions I always get when I tell them I'm from Cincinnati is, did I work at WKRP in Cincinnati? Which obviously is a fictional thing. And the other one is, did I know George Clooney? And I said, no, but I actually have a friend of mine who wrote a book that has George Clooney's name in it. And I actually did work with Nick Clooney, who was his father. He worked at WKRC Channel 12 up there. And I said, I did an actual remote with George. George was not working with the radio station at the time, but he was actually working at Keeneland at the time. That's what I brought up last week. And I was actually setting up a remote for Jim Scott, who used to do morning radio in Cincinnati.
Really?
I was scared to death. This is when you had to put phone lines together. Like, you had to go into the phone line and take a screw job, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And use their phone line.
Remotes in those days.
Yeah, and you had like things called a Marty, which was an antenna that you actually sat in the middle of the floor. It was an antenna that was about 5 feet long, that was sharp, it was metal, and you'd have to point it towards the radio station. Like, you had to figure out where the radio station was, and that's and if you walked in front of it, it would actually knock you off the air. But I remember doing that.
You had to sit like this with your arm pointed in the right direction.
With Reynolds wrap hanging from your ears.
Yeah. It was so, and if it worked, it was like, this is actually working. It's a miracle.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And it was amazing it worked that long. It really was.
Let's talk real quick about KRP in Cincinnati, because I kind of like to hear your thoughts. I think maybe we've touched on it at some point, but another brilliant show that kind of spawned from that same, you know, try to create a look at what a real situation. And I thought they did such a brilliant job on WKRP in Cincinnati of mimicking the characters that you actually encounter at a radio station.
It was so Herb Tarlick was Herb Winches. It was perfect.
Spot on as the sales guy.
Andy Summers, the PD, was perfect. An unassuming kind of guy. Didn't want to stick his neck out too far. Bailey was the perfect HR type of person. That was the Marianne and Ginger thing. Would you rather do Lonnie Anderson or Bailey? Everyone loved Bailey because she was a really good looking. Lonnie Anderson. Lonnie Anderson was the one that you know. We did not have a woman that looked that good. But we did have women working in the radio station, whether it be like bikini girls or whatever. If you had a radio station, there were good looking women around. They're either in the sales department or they're your part of your bikini club or something. There was always good looking women around radio, and that's the way it was. People came out to look at the beautiful women. That's why we did all these Hawaiian Tropic beauty pageants and stuff.
But what about Les Nessman?
Les Nessman, Jim. Do you remember Jim Dent? Do you remember Jim Dent? Jim Dent used to be a news person here in town. He actually started with us he started with us on Rock 99.9. Jim Dent. He was Les Nessman. Oh, the humanity. Yeah.
They're bombing the North Field shopping mall with live turkeys.
Oh, man, it was so spot on. And then, of course, you had the obligatory black man who worked overnights because you had to have a black individual working on a classic rock station. And of course, Venus Flytrap. And then Johnny Fever, who of course everyone thought
Johnny
I was.
Fever.
Mm-hmm. who was doing his afternoon things. And
another comedic genius too. Hessman.
He was. And it was like in a bunch of shows. You know, what's amazing about that show is that show was so far ahead of time. It was much like the Brady Bunch in that it really took off in syndication. And then in syndication, when it took off, they're like, people were like, well, what is the show? Taxi was another one of the shows that did really well when it first came out. But in syndication, it just took off. For a lot of people don't realize, Brady Bunch was nothing. It only ran for like 2 years, 2.5 years. And no one watched the show until it came back in syndication. And then it took off in syndication. It just was not its right time. And so when they came back and tried to make another WKRP, I'll never forget it. I was actually going in and out of Cincinnati. I was working down in Birmingham. They were asking people to send in their favorite memorabilia from Cincinnati so they could use it for the on-set stage. And of course, if you sent your stuff in, you weren't getting it back. But I had sent in a couple of Pete Rose pictures or something, and I remember seeing that my stuff on television. But by the time they had redone it, it was too late. The window had closed, and it just wasn't it wasn't that funny. But from a radio standpoint.
But the original series was just genius. Even down to the jingle, baby, if you ever wonder whatever happened to me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati.
Hey, that was a hit too, by the way.
WKRP.
That was a hit.
Got tired of backpacking and unpacking, et cetera.
Now, I was going to say, because that thing's got like 3 or 4 stanzas, you know, it's got 3 or 4. It's got some lines to it that you never heard. You should go listen. It's a 4-minute song.
Just a great show, and it's appropriate to talk about it because, again, All in the Family changing the direction of, you know, think about early sitcoms. You couldn't even, if it was a married couple and they were in the same, if they were in their bedroom for a scene, mm-hmm. they had twin beds because you couldn't even suggest these people married actually slept together. Oh my gosh, that's scandalous.
Well, do you remember, the first primetime couple that actually was seen in the same bed? That would be Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Believe it or not. Yeah. Fred and Wilma Flintstone were the first primetime show. The Flintstones was actually a primetime show. And that was the first time because when if you go back and I Love Lucy, you go back and look at the Brady Bunch, anyone was married, Rob and Laura Petrie, they were always in separate beds. You're right. Yep. It's funny how things come full circle, right? Because now most people are in separate beds. They don't sleep together.
Yeah, Tony, I could never really see the, you know, Wilma and Betty both were pretty hot. And what the hell? I think I needed to live in that era because Fred was a big fat guy and Barney was about 3 feet tall.
And they were both had wives that had 2-inch waists that were smoking hot. Oh, Betty, man.
I thought Betty was hotter than Wilma, but how did Barney get that?
I don't know. And then the whole Bam Bam and Pebbles thing. Yeah, I can't. You want to talk about, well, that was, if we're talking television, that was the animated All in the Family.
Yeah.
And then to kind of go along with that, you had, I'm trying to think of some of the other, the Cramdons, the Honeymooners was well before All in the Family. But that was the old, could you imagine now having a guy throwing his fist saying, pow, to the moon, Alice. I mean, could you imagine saying that on television, that you're going to punch your wife in the face? And we knew he wasn't going to do that. And we know how much they loved each other. But he used to say, pow, to the moon, Alice. And you're thinking to yourself, wow. And now you look back on that, you're like, oh, my gosh, you could never say that. You could never do that.
Yeah, I mean that was another kind of ground. He was a Ralph's job was he was a bus driver for the New York Transit Company. Yep. So, yikes.
Yep, and they all had like just blue collar jobs, man.
Yeah,
blue collar jobs. Everyone worked
apartments, and it wasn't very glamorous.
And they were happy about it. You were just happy to have a family,
Ralph Cramden,
and happy to have an apartment, and happy to have a home that you could call your own, and. It's just crazy.
Different time.
It really is. We're talking about Rob Reiner and his wife who were evidently killed. And I guess they have, it's like $4 million they have on this guy's head, on this kid's head. I think his name is Nick. Their son. But yeah.
Well, you knew something was, it was so weird last night. I don't, you know, I stay up late. I know you usually check out earlier.
I'm usually getting up when you're going to bed, so.
Yeah, they had a bizarre press conference in front of the house last night of the police official. Gavin Newsom, the governor, and Karen Bass, the mayor, had already issued a statement about the tragic death of Rob Reiner. And the cop out front, we're not going to release the names of any victims at this point. And they said, well, is it a homicide? No, this is just a death investigation right now. We can't go in there and begin our process until we get the proper warrants. Yeah. I mean, they're so paralyzed now, Tony, by this guy who killed the healthcare executive in New York. When they arrested him, they grabbed his backpack and found the gun and a bunch of manifestos. The defense is trying to get all that thrown out because they didn't have a warrant to search his property. It used to be a murder investigation started right when they found the bodies.
Sure.
They'd run the crime tape. Now the police are so paralyzed and so afraid that anything they touch or anything they do without a court order is going to get the guy off, which is really, if that is the system now, we got to do something different because that's just absurd.
No, and for people that didn't realize, I mean, obviously Reiner's been in the business, that the area of town or the area of the country or the area of the world that he was living in was like Mountain Brook times 25. I mean, that's how rich it is. Marilyn Monroe lived there. Lucas lives there.
We had another famous murder there, you know, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. O.J. Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole Simpson, and Ron Goldman. That was about a half a mile away in Brentwood.
Isn't
so
that crazy? Yeah, that the Brentwood area is not. I mean, the when you say a homicide in Brentwood, it's got to be an inside deal, right? It's got to be an inside deal. There's no way because you can't get in Brentwood.
There's a bunch of
they don't do tours in Brentwood. They don't have Hollywood stars, you know, walking them.
Rogue gangs roaming the streets of Brent, the mean streets of Brentwood.
No. Yeah, no.
I mean, it's just so you knew this was something. You knew the police already knew what happened because all the news guys came on and were just going crazy. Well, he just assured everybody there's no danger. So obviously they know what happened already because, you know, if a guy had knifed a famous person and his wife to death and was still roaming the streets, the town would have been all, you know, upside down in fear. But the policeman kept assuring everybody, you know, there's no emergency. We're not looking for anybody. Yeah. So if you have a functioning brain, that meant you knew they already know what happened at midnight last night.
By the way, I'm checking out a lot of people obviously have a lot of things to be said about that. And President Donald J. Trump has come out reportedly to the
I'm afraid to hear this.
Yeah, saying that his death, Rob Reiner's death, was reportedly due to the anger he caused others through a mind-crippling disease known as the Trump derangement syndrome. He was known to have driven people, this is the words of Donald Trump through Truth Media, he was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump. The president added in a social media post, you can go, I'm not going to read the rest of it.
But, yeah, that's typical.
Of course, he's taking this whole idea and just let the body cool off just a little bit, please, before we jump on. But it mentions that Reiner repeatedly criticized Trump. Saying basically, we have a year before this country becomes a full-on autocracy, completely and democratically completely leave this democracy, probably leaves us. And then talked about Trump being mentally unfit for president.
I mean, it became, and that's unfortunate that the last 10 years of his life, he's just been obsessed with ranting and raving over Donald Trump. I mean, you know, that's the political process. And if somebody's in power that you don't agree with, then, you know, you need to work harder to get somebody that you do have see eye to eye with. But that's the system we live in. But it just seems like that kind of radical leftist viewpoint just doesn't accept the fact that the will of the people is what rules the day. They worry about the collapse of democracy, but then they bemoan when democracy doesn't go their way. You know, it's like this is terrible. So again, but I don't, you know, I didn't have any of those thoughts last night. Because I certainly don't like that kind of politics and overusage of just all these hysterical terms that we're doomed unless we, I mean, that drives you to violence on the other side of the fence. Yeah. But for him, the irony of him dying violently at the hands of his own son is just hard to even comprehend.
It really is terrible stuff. All right. We do Kiefer and Curry every single week. We talk about whatever we want to. Sometimes we talk about college football. We're going to talk a lot about that going on tomorrow.
Yeah, we got
our K4 wins. We got our playoffs finally here, man. Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, A&M, Tulane, Ole Miss, James Madison, Oregon. Of course, we also have those four byes. We've already had a couple of bowl games. I think I may be going down to the Crambin Bowl. The Crambin Bowl, which is a salute to our veterans, which is coming up, I think, later this week down in Montgomery. I may go down to the Crambin Bowl.
Yeah, it was called the Camellia Bowl for a few years.
It was.
I actually wore to my radio show on Saturday morning after flying back from New Orleans. Went down there for the Alabama horse race. And
how'd that go?
It was great. We had eight horses and a really good race. I had picked the four horse who was a half a nose from winning before getting caught at the wire, so that was disappointing.
Okay.
But it was great. Flew back, but Saturday morning I just was, you know, I knew it was like 20 degrees outside, so to go down to the radio station, I just threw on a hoodie and when we got there, one of the our producer, David Sears, took a picture of Legend and I before we went up there to the studio. And I was wearing my Bowling Green Falcons hoodie. And as soon as Legend posted that to promote the show, somebody said, why is Kip wearing a Bowling Green shirt? It was because, Tony, I went to the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery about 5 years ago, Bowling Green against South Alabama. When we came out, they were half price. So I'm the proud owner of a Bowling Green Falcon shirt now.
Hey, man, the more bowls, the better. I don't care if it's 4-7, 5-7, 0-7. Anytime I get college football, bring it on. I don't. Yeah, you, people are like, I have absolutely, seriously. These idiots out there.
I have a hard time watching the lower level schools than I should.
Yeah, but you don't have to watch it. It's fine. But I mean, for the rest of us, I'd rather watch a Lifetime Christmas Story or would I rather watch the Cramden Bowl? I'll watch the Cramden Bowl. I mean, if there's college football, I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
It's played in a stadium called the Cramden Bowl, which they had remodeled the year before I went to the Camellia Bowl a few years ago, and pretty decent facility. I mean, not bad at all.
I went down there to see UAB play. Was it 2 years ago? They had the first game of the college football year. It was on a Thursday night, and UAB played down there.
Oh, yeah, played Alabama State or somebody, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure did. Because I'm certainly not very proud of the Birmingham Bowl this year. Georgia Southern and Appalachian State.
They've already played each other, have they not?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. They're in the same conference. I mean, that's just how much, because so many teams opted out this year that.
And it's unfortunate, too, because this bowl's been around now. The All-American Bowl was back in the late 80s, and that's a different bowl.
Birmingham's always had a bowl game.
Yeah, but this is an ESPN-sponsored thing, so if ESPN's behind it, it's not going to go away, which I'm totally with. But, I mean, normally when a bowl, the longer the bowl goes, the better it gets. You move up the lineage, if you will, of the teams.
And
that
we
are
had SEC
posing.
Against other conferences for a couple of years. To have Georgia Southern and Appalachian State, both from the, I think, the Sun Belt, that's kind of a bummer. I can't imagine that. I saw tickets begin at $39. I was going, who's going to pay even $39 to go to that game?
Well, I certainly ain't going to pay $39 for a smart water down there either. So make sure you bring some of your own food or your own drink.
And I did go to the BJCC on Saturday night for the Alabama-Arizona
game. I was
there
as well. And what an absolute bloodshed in that second half. The first half was so good.
As they could play in the first half, but I don't know. Going forward, were you as impressed with Arizona as I was? Man, they are a machine.
Four turnovers, and they out-rebounded Alabama by 20. That team is and not one time. Four turnovers. I don't think I've seen a team with only four. They only had three turnovers in the first half. They had one turnover in the second half.
First four possessions. And eight whistles in the first 2 minutes of the second half. Yeah. Alabama wants to play fast. That game in 2 minutes became a slog fest. Alabama never recovered.
You're exactly right. I looked at Santo. There were nine fouls. There were five on one, four on the other within the first. It was like 15:53 left. And I said, man, this game is going to sucker punch us right in the gut the rest of the game, because it was fun. I think it was 41-39 up and down the floor the first
half.
It was a lot of fun.
Their ass off in the first half, played really good defense, made Arizona make threes, which they don't typically do. Did you see our compadre on the floor? Monty Ballard has much better connected than Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. He's on the floor with his two grandsons. And Sam, who's been on our television show, The Starting Lineup, was wearing a blazer, one of those funky jackets. So the Ballards were representing on Saturday night.
Ballards know pretty well. That's when you have an agency that's been around Birmingham for a long period of time. You get to pull the figures on that, and you get some tickets for stuff like that.
So you think, his lesser buddies like me and you, he throws a bone sometimes.
I used to get tickets like that when I did a sports radio show, but people don't remember that anymore.
And it's funny, I had seen in 1997, I took my then 11, Case Kiefer. We saw undefeated Kansas lose at the BJCC to Arizona, ironically, who went on to win the national championship. Case, of course, 8 years later would be seven years later would be attending the University of Kansas. We had no idea we were going to move to Kansas at that time. So I've seen Arizona's been to Birmingham twice, and I've been at both games
in the last
25 years.
Yeah, and for them to, anytime you can bring a number, and I've been saying this, man, anytime you want to bring a preseason NBA game in town, any of this, the CM Newton things, whatever it takes to bring in some of these big sporting events. And I'm so happy that
I hope they keep that up.
I know
Birmingham doesn't need to be a Bush League town.
The AAC basketball tournament will be in Birmingham this year. And that should be a lot of fun. That's pretty big for basketball. And hopefully UAB will do well in that. And I know they're already talking about second and third round March Madness things. They have to focus.
It's supposed to come back in 2028. Yeah, so
But great stuff. All right, my man. I will see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
That was a random podcast, but well, I hope people have found something to enjoy.
Probably
in there,
one of our finest. And thanks. I have to go back.
My deepest, sincerest sympathies for Rob Reiner and his wife. That's just a horrible way to go out when you've had such a storied life and career. I don't care what his politics were. I don't care what ideologically. I'm really having a hard time grasping what happened to them in their own home.
I knew you were in the middle of the afternoon. And I know you're a media type, and you were the first person I thought of when I heard that news. I thought that's going to be something we could probably get a show out of.
Good grief.
I didn't even know where it was going to go. What are you talking about on Need to Know this week? Because we're doing things a little ass backward here, but give me an idea where you're going to go on Need to Know.
I'm going to talk about the Rob Reiner murder was certainly one of the stories, but you know, more mass shootings, and it's just disturbing now the what we've eroded into, and you know, it's kind of a complicated topic, but this expansion of Islamic religion around the world is something that's been for lack of a better word, it has been planned and plotted for centuries. And, you know, you've got these situations like the terrible incident in Australia where this was an anti-Semitic. It was a Jewish Hanukkah kickoff celebration, and a father-son team just started picking people off from a walking bridge above the beach. I mean, it's horrendous, but I'm going to give a little history lesson on why this is happening and how it's happening. Right. And it's just perspective stuff. Again, I have no problem with anybody's beliefs or who they want to worship or what they want to do, but if it's to the point where you have to lash out and actually commit violence against people who believe differently than you, we've got a real problem in this, not just the United States, this is worldwide. No doubt. So this is a big thing to talk about and understand where all this is, where it all emanated from and where we're going from here.
A brand new Need to Know. It's going to be on TKR this week, as well as the Kiefer and Curry Show. Of course, you just heard, and you get both those shows live on Tony Curry Radio. And then, of course, as soon as that runs once, you go up to a podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast, including the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel, which runs all of our shows live. So we'll have that going on there. And yes, we'll be doing
Saturday morning on the starting lineup.
Yep.
We'll have a rare opportunity to talk about a game the night before. So we will recap all of the Alabama-Oklahoma first-round action and get you ready for the three playoff games on Saturday. So don't miss it. I know it's only Monday, but Saturday will be here before you know it, and we will be ready on the starting lineup, 10:30 a.m., ABC 3340.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.